This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Arms Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Here to kick off the second hour and continuing our conversation with Jeff Christian from the CPM Group. Jeff, as a wrap-up to the last segment, you did mention that for some of your clients and subscribers, you are saying that now is a good time, you think, to get into the market almost in an accumulation sense. Can you explain why? Is this because you think that we are in the beginning parts of another bull run, potentially?
Yes. I mean, most CPM Group investor clients are long-term investors. And if you look at our recommendations going back over the last 7 years, in 2010, we were saying we thought that the gold price could peak in or around 2011, and that we could enter a 3 to 5 year downward phase. And the way we characterized it was that we thought that there was a secular bull market in gold that started in 2000 and was continuing, but that there could be a cyclical interruption and correction downward for 3 to 5 years, followed by another leg up. And our analysis suggests to us that we've seen that downward leg, and we're now in the early stages of another much larger upward move. So for a longer-term investor, our view is that the gold price over the next 10 years probably rises to record levels that surpass the 2011 peak on a nominal dollar basis, in terms of the value. So we're looking for the gold price to rise sharply over the next really 3 to 10 years. We're telling our clients that we don't know that they'll rise sharply right now this year, 2016, or even into 2017, but that as time goes on, the economic, political, and financial market problems that the world faces and that individual nations face and that individual investors face, that those that set of problems will just grow worse. And at some point, maybe in 2017, maybe in 2018, we're going to see a resurgence of global investment demand for gold, which will probably drive the gold price to a record high. So what we're telling our clients is that we think the low is in, and if you have a stomach for a couple years of perhaps a little bit boring markets, this is the time to buy gold as a wealth preservation instrument and a portfolio diversifier.
Jeff, what are the thoughts that brought you to the conclusion that 3 to 10 years from now we're going to see a sharp appreciation in the price of gold? I know, you know, a lot of the pundits who sometimes I don't have time for some of their wild, outlandish predictions, like $5,000 gold, $10,000 gold, what have you. Are you looking for an increase of that magnitude?
No, we're looking for gold prices to be nominally around $2,000 5 to 10 years from now. So we're now looking for $5,000 or $10,000. You know, the fundamentals of gold don't really support the high of prices on a sustained basis. If you ever saw gold spike to $5,000 or $10,000, you'd see a massive amount of gold supply coming in, not only from mining companies, but from all of the jewelry that's been bought over the years. You know, there's a couple billion ounces of gold in jewelry. And if you look at the period 2000 to 2011, gold scrap refining from jewelry basically doubled as the price rose from $280 to, you know, $1,600 on an average basis, annual average basis in 2011. So there's a lot of gold that can come into the market if the price rises. In addition to which, if the price got to $5,000, you would be killing the jewelry industry, which is, again, accounts for 70-80% of gold offtake every year. A lot of investors would say, well, I was attractive. Gold was attractive to me at $1,300 or $1,500, but at $5,000, I think I'm going to sell what I got, or
sure,
at least stop buying. And, you know, you've got a billion ounces of gold in central bank holdings. You've got 1.3 billion ounces in investor holdings. You got more than 2 billion ounces in jewelry. So if you saw the price go that high, and you could see it spike that high, but it can't stay there because the fundamentals of the gold market simply wouldn't support it.
Jeff, that's such an interesting comment on the aspect that the scrap metal business would pick up, because I think we all remember back when gold was on that run, just all those commercials you would see about all these people willing to cash for gold. We'll take your gold, we'll give you cash. And man, did those things ever just dominate the airwaves. I want to switch it up.
Yeah, and a lot of them are gone now, right?
Absolutely. Jeff, one other comment and kind of a different viewpoint here. What do you think about this new Shanghai gold fix that has just come in a few weeks ago, I believe?
It's not surprising. They've been talking about doing this for several years. It's the shape of things to come. You know, I mean, the reality is that London is still the financial capital of the world, but it's the financial capital of the world because it's based on history. And if you look at the growth of economics, there's been this continual shift for the last 30 years in economic activity and economic power eastward. And China is the dominant entity there, and China is, you know, it's the largest mining company country for gold. It's the largest refiner of gold scrap. It's the largest jewelry manufacturer. It's the largest investment market, and it's going to continue to becoming to grow in size relative to the rest of the world. So it's only a natural occurrence that you'll see a shift in where the price is made from London and New York to Shanghai. You're seeing the same thing in oil, where the Shanghai, the Chinese regulators are opening an oil contract in Shanghai with the expectation or the hope that increasingly oil will be bought and sold based on the Shanghai price as opposed to the Argus price or the West Texas or the Brent prices.
That's an interesting comment. Now, in light of the slowdown that's going on currently in the Chinese economy, I'm not really sure how a 5-6% growth rate, annual growth rate, really translates to necessarily a meaningful slowdown. But, you know, if that, in fact, is the trend, and if those numbers continue to decrease, perhaps the importance of China could diminish. What do you think about that?
Well, it could, but take this into context. The 6.7% growth we saw in China last year in dollar terms was as great as the 14% growth that we saw in China in 2007. So part of what you're seeing with the slowdown in the percentage increase in Chinese activity is simple arithmetic. As the economy gets larger, the same actual growth in economic activity is a smaller percentage of the previous year's GDP. So part of it is that, you know, our expectation is that China, you know, again, if you go back to 2007, you know, Chinese GDP was probably about $3.5 trillion, just to give you an idea, and it went to $4.5 trillion the next year. You know, last year, 2014, it was about $10.4 trillion, and it's now about $11.4 trillion. So you're seeing the same growth, it's just a lower percentage. And, you know, China is doing something that's never been done before. It's trying to convert 1.4 billion peasants into consumer people. And they've transformed about 400 million of those people into urbanites who consume stuff and who participate in a modern economy as opposed to being subsistence farmers. They still have 1 billion people out in the fields, many of whom want to move to the cities, and they're continuing with this rapid urbanization. So I think that there's a tremendous amount of economic growth still available within China. Now, as they do that, they run into economic problems. I mean, everybody runs into cyclical economic issues. You know, we're growing too fast, we get inflation, then we try to fight the inflation, and we grow too slow, or we slip into a recession. And China is running into those same issues. But I think the broader economic trend in China is going to be growth, unless there's another revolution that upsets the entire apple cart.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, stick around. We're going to be right back.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com. And be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey Guy.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back. Al and I are joined by Sean Broderick. Works for the Oxford Club. You can also read some of Sean's work at energyandresourcedigest.com. Sean, I always enjoy chatting with you about a number of different markets. However, on this segment, we are going to focus on the precious metals. Precious metals, as I think everybody knows, have performed pretty well so far this year, especially for gold in the first month. Since then, has been very range-bound. A lot of the pundits are saying that this is the start of another bull market, which, as we know, can last anywhere from 5 to 7 years, plus the last bear market was pretty painful. What do you see in the formation of this bull market as compared to what we saw in, let's say, 2009, where it was a much more almost skyrockety type of market, and 2001, please, Sean?
Oh, yeah. I think that the 4.5-year bear market in gold has ended, and gold is cyclical. I mean, we just know that because that's how it acts. So we're now looking at a 5 to 7 year bull market. If it's an ordinary bull market, of course, things can get outside for one reason or another. And the first 2 years of that should be quite good. I expect that things could calm down because we've had a nice run, you know, and so that will give people a chance to catch their breath and maybe make shopping lists for the things that they wish they bought first time around. But I'm not really worried about a big pull down in gold or mining stocks for that matter. I think things look pretty good.
I agree. I think things do look pretty good. My reasoning, though, is based on a couple of factors. Number one is we have a couple of really great technicians as regular contributors to our show, Rick Ackerman and Doc. They both say the technicals are in the direction that you're just talking about right now. I'm not a technician. I look at fundamental issues, and I've been through the wars too many times, Sean, and I have to say that this does feel an awful lot like the end of 2009, the beginning of 2010. You know, people are looking for an excuse to get back into the resource sector, you know, and a strong gold market, albeit less than it was last time, which, you know, gold was trading up around as high as $1,900 an ounce. We are still right now, given where gold has been, gold is looking very, very good right now. And a lot of the small gold mining companies are really, their share prices are starting to reflect that.
We are starting to see companies, both good and bad, go up. That's the indication of an early bull market, is when the junk rises along with the good stuff. Sometimes it outpaces the good stuff, which is frustrating for those of us who actually do our homework. But that's because the junkie companies didn't work at all at low prices. Now they might barely work. We'll see if the management can actually pull them together. But to speak to your point, to me this doesn't feel like 2009. It feels like 2001. Then we saw gold start to rally after a long bear market. Everybody hated gold going into 2001, but then we saw gold mining stocks rally 100% that year, and that happened in the space of a few short months. People don't have the memories for that, but that's what happened. And then things cooled down, and then things took off again. And I think that's the kind of thing we have, where gold just had the stuffing beaten out. It was beaten flat. All of these gold mining companies were compressed and compressed and compressed. And so that's why we saw the big move, you know, just to get some rational value back in the market. I mean, just to talk about one company, but Detour Gold, at the depth of the big bear market, which we just had, you could buy that company for less than the value of its mill, right? And that's sitting on one of the biggest gold deposits in North America. That was just crazy. Now we're starting to see some rationality come back into the market. But it's rationality for the current gold price. I do technical stuff too. I think we are seeing a bull flag being hammered out in gold. Flags fly at half mast. When that thing, and it, I should say if it actually resolves to the upside, we're looking at a target of 1370 in gold, and that would not surprise me. Now, I have to put the caveat, every sunken ship has a chart. Charts don't have to work out. But if this one works out, that is what will happen.
Sean, talking about shopping lists here, are you focused on any particular sector in the gold industry, as in majors, mid-caps, exploration companies? Where do you think some of the best opportunities are going to be?
Yeah, that's a good question, because the opportunities have been all of them so far, right?
Exactly.
They've all been going up. So what do we do now? Well, I think that actually the next round of opportunity, it's like other bull markets, we'll start to see some some like exploration plays really start to see some real value put in them. Now, we just saw Cam and Eckel, which I just talked to 3 weeks ago, and boy, were their lips sealed shut, just got picked up by Goldcorp, you know, snapped up, right? So the potential for that happening again is actually quite good. Why? Because the gold majors sat on their hands and hid under their desks for the last 2 years of the gold bull market, right? And so as that happens, you know, that means that their pipelines are not being filled. Now if they start to look at things rationally, they're going to realize they have a gap in there. They have to do something. The thing they can do is pick up explorers that have advanced their projects enough that they really know what's there and yet still have some blue sky potential. Those are the ones I would be looking at.
I think there are an awful lot of companies out there. Those that have survived this latest downtrend, and many have not survived, but those that have survived, you know, as long as you believe in the management, as long as they have adequate capital to get started and to continue for the, you know, for the short term anyway, and as long as they have proven seasoned management, there's a lot of opportunities out there right now, in my opinion.
You're absolutely right, Al. Management is the most important thing about a company because if a company is short on money, good management can raise more money. They always can. And even when the, like, fundraising markets were closed to a lot of companies, those companies that had the best management were still able to tap those funds. And so good management is great. And I've been speaking to these guys. I've, like, interviewed 18 companies in the last 3 weeks. I've done lots of videos with them and, like, stuff like that. And the story that I kept hearing over and over is, you know, they're, like, struggling along, but they had some money. And then some other poor guy went broke, and his assets went up on sale. And they picked things up for a song. So we are going to see some real development of those projects, which were fine projects. It's just the company ran out of money, and things had to be sold off. And that's a real opportunity for some of these companies.
Those are huge company builder situations, too, when they pick up some of these properties for dirt cheap, and then they turn out to be quite valuable properties. Sean, one final comment regarding that Kaminak deal with Goldcorp taking them out. Do you think this is a positive for the industry, barring that Kaminak only got sold for a premium of about 40%?
Yeah, well, I'll explain why that happened. They just had a report come out saying that 80% of like acquisitions in the mining space have actually not been accretive to companies. And I think that was a shocker. So now people are lowering how much they're actually willing to pay. And so I still think it is a positive. It's just we might not see the insane takeover money that we saw before because people are being much more cautious about what they buy. But still, with the right companies, you can still make a good deal of money.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
As if chlorine in our water weren't bad enough, now they're adding ammonia?
It's true. Some municipalities are now adding ammonia plus chlorine to your water supply. It's a disinfectant called chloramine. But with a trusted Big Berkey water filter, you can keep chloramine out of your water. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show EPA Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market. The gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using the computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home, or business, or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly, certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly, certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Did you know a dirty CPAP system can make you sick? If you knew what could be growing in your mask and hose, you might not sleep so well. But now, SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of all CPAP germs, and it's completely hands-free. For a limited time, you can try SoClean risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-900-0684.
SoClean changed the CPAP experience for the better. My health has improved. It's simple to use, and I'm not worried about infections.
SoClean destroys CPAP bacteria, viruses, and germs with no hassle. Never have to clean your machine by hand again. There's no water, chemicals, or disassembly. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto, your CPAP system is clean and fresh in minutes. Call SoClean.com to try it risk-free at home for 30 days. This is a limited-time offer, only available by calling 1-800-900-0684. That's 1-800-900-0684.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Dr. Joel Wallach here. If you're a baby boomer and you're worried about the big epidemics coming, and I'm not talking about the bird flu or the swine flu. I'm talking about epidemics of Alzheimer's disease, heart disease, obesity, diabetes, arthritis, cancer. That's because the 80 million baby boomers followed all the advice of doctors, and Houston, we have a problem.
See Dr. Wallach live in Little Rock, Arkansas, Saturday, May 14th, 1 p.m. Go to www.cdocinarkansas.com. That's cdocinarkansas.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the last part of the second hour of the weekend edition. Joined right now by Chris Temple of the National Investor. Chris, as we were chatting throughout the week, there was this continuing story developing that I think was on our radars and I'm sure on a number of other people's radars. And this deals with fund flows in the stock markets in the U.S. and globally. What we have been seeing, especially in the U.S., is a pretty significant, I would say, increase in fund flows into gold ETFs. That's taking up a lot of room for the decline that we're seeing in demand over in China and India. Can you first start off by addressing this?
Well, yeah, the interesting thing about gold these days, Corey, is that we have seen arguably the second major change in the recipe, if you will, for gold demand in recent years. You know, once upon a time, you could pretty well figure it was going to be static year to year, that two-thirds of overall demand for gold was for fabrication, jewelry, industry, things like that. And one-third was other, basically, investment demand. Central banks were net sellers. And all of a sudden, in recent years, that equation changed to where central banks became a considerable driver of the gold price and helped to a very great extent to fuel the bull market that we saw in gold for so many years. Now the central bank net purchases are waning. That we're certainly not seeing selling, but they're not buying as much as they were, and they in turn are being replaced by retail and institutional investment demand again. And in fact, when you look at the whole equation, it's kind of a, it could be an Achilles heel. We'll see what happens. But right now, investment demand is as strong as it was when the market was getting frothy in 2010 and 2011. Which is a darn good thing if you're a gold bug, because fabrication demand has really cratered globally, especially in places like China and India. Now, the World Gold Council suggested this last week that you may see Indian demand rebound maybe later this year with a better monsoon season than they had last year. But, we're to a point now, and I can't give you the exact number, but I think well over now half of the demand for gold is purely investment demand. And that has seldom happened in history.
It's so interesting to see, or at least to hear from a lot of these gold bulls 4 or 5 years ago saying, look at all this demand out of China and India. That's what's going to drive price. Everybody's going to realize that these countries are smarter than everybody else. But quite frankly, again, it's showing that a lot of the gold price seems to be driven by demand in the West, especially in terms of big investment entities, whether it is central banks or just these funds, isn't it?
Well, it has been recently, Corey, and it's certainly the key driver this year when we've seen gold rebound off its double bottom at $1,050 an ounce. That's been the primary driver.
Chris, what about the general aspect of negative fund flows for the U.S. stock markets and globally? It seems like these funds are taking a much more defensive approach, one that you would see them doing in either a recession or being worried about a recession.
Well, you know, I mentioned about a week and a half ago or so when you and Al and I were doing a daily editorial that one of the most useful people in the conventional investment field to me is Charles Biederman. He runs the consultancy firm TribTabs. He's not a perma bull. He's not a perma bear. He calls things as he sees them, and he does it almost like a forensic accountant. And he's looking almost entirely at fund flows. And his comment about a week and a half or 2 weeks ago was that their models at TribTabs had gone to pretty much advocating a 100% cash position. The main drivers of fund flows into equities have dissipated, if not in some cases reversed. They're talking about the big move of $2 trillion when you add it all up over the last several years in buybacks of stocks. That's pretty much over with. It continues here and there, but the big juice from that is gone. Mergers and acquisitions gone. A paltry offering of IPOs in the recent past, which helps, I guess, from the supply standpoint, but also shows you just how much demand for equities is weakened. Last but not least, he was talking about the flows into stock mutual funds and ETFs starting to reverse, and that view was seconded this week by Bank of America Merrill Lynch, where they had a piece come out where they talked about the, quote, equity exodus, close quote, where so far this year we've seen $90 billion, according to their numbers, of net withdrawals from stock mutual funds and ETFs.
So if we grind down to the individual or retail investor, do you think that these investors should be following what these funds do in the term of, are these funds usually early to the party or are they market timers?
Well, there's different ways you can take that. I mean, there are some who would say that with the public apparently fairly subdued or bearish where the stock market is concerned, and constantly we hear the refrain for some time now that this is one of the most mistrusted and hated stock market cyclical rallies ever. Some would look at that as a contrarian indicator and say, well, gee, that means that everybody's too pessimistic, and if they're going to sell, they already have, and maybe it's time to buy. That remains to be seen. But as with so many things today, and we talked about this yesterday morning on Friday's daily editorial, when it comes to the political world and the economic world, we have people trying to make calls, Corey, looking at equations that are now changing, if not outdated. For example, it's been my observation for some time that a lot of individual retail investors, you know, Fred and Martha, who were retired or nearing retirement, maybe putting money in their 401k, trying to manage money otherwise, they've been pulling their horns in. You know, they got burned in 2000 and 2001. They got burned in 2008. Every time their broker, when they were starting to worry, said, don't worry, don't try and time the market. You're in it for the long run. A lot of these people are never coming back to the stock market in any great way. You look at the statistics that are out there as far as the percentage of Americans that are participating in the stock market, it's at its lowest levels in a generation. That's not going to change. So I don't think you can look at that and say, well, with this much withdrawals out of equity funds, maybe it's going to be time to buy. No, it means that there's that much less support for stocks. And you need, therefore, to look at what the institutions are doing. And I've said, you know, for a number of weeks that even where institutions are concerned, they've been a little bit cautious. That would be the place where, if it's going to happen, there would be this counterintuitive rally come if all of a sudden we got some good news or some more shock and awe from the central banks, or best of all, relatively speaking, some kind of fiscal stimulus in the U.S. and or elsewhere. That would give people some more reason to be less pessimistic. But, you know, I think barring those things, Corey, and especially with the technical breakdowns we had at week's end, I think that these fund flows are going to be precursors of a little bit nastier time to come. I'm not calling for a rout or a huge bear market. We're certainly through going up, however, and I think we're going to have another grinding move in the market, these rolling corrections, rolling bear markets within different sectors. It's going to go on for a while.
Well, Chris, I think your comments are pretty spot on, and watching what the funds do is very important because they are big money out there, and with the lack of participation from a lot of other individual investors, this is a different market, whether that's good or bad. I think this grinding down, as much as people want to say, we're going to hit a recession, watch the bottom drop out of the market, I don't think we're seeing something that we saw back in, let's say, 2008, where we just plummeted down. This is a different makeup to this market, and it is gradually rolling over, but it's still managing to hang up there right now. Chris, always enjoy chatting with you.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Do you have dry hands or itchy, peeling skin? Are your cracked feet in need of a makeover for sandal season? Hi, my name is Diane Cook, the creator of B-Spa Hand and Foot Cream. B-Spa is all natural, 16% beeswax, marigold extract, and other essential oils and nutrients. B-Spa is great for exceptionally dry hands and feet, but B-Spa can be used anywhere on the body. I am sure you will see a difference overnight. B-Spa is the only cream you will ever need. The convenient 2.5-ounce size jar travels nicely and a little goes a long way. B-Spa Hand and Foot Cream costs $29.99. Use promotion code 101 for free shipping. Order B-Spa Hand and Foot Cream today at bespa.com. That's B-E-E-S-P-A.com. That's B-E-E-S-P-A.com.
Continuing to listen to the second hour of the weekend edition. Al had to step out of the recording studio, but that is okay. We filled his seat with Chris Temple from the National Investor. Chris and I are chatting right now with the president and CEO of Theralase. This is Roger White. Roger's been on the show a number of times. Al, I believe, holds shares in Theralase. Roger, there was a recent news release that came out earlier in the week on Thursday talking about the clinical research agreement with University Health Network. Can you explain what this means for the company moving forward in the next couple months, please?
Absolutely. When you're going into a phase one clinical trial, like we are for non-muscle invasive bladder cancer, you have to have all the agreements in place with the oncology institution. So that involves the urology department, it involves radiology, it involves pharmacy, it involves grants and administration, it involves executive. So there's a lot of, as you can imagine, departments in large research oncology hospitals. So the agreement has to incorporate all those different groups. So it's a nice agreement to have in place, because that way we've sat down, we've met with all these departments, we've addressed how to manage a clinical trial like a phase 1B non-muscle invasive bladder cancer trial with them, come to terms, set it up, and we've signed the agreement. So we're all ready to go once we finally get that ITA approval from Health Canada.
Well, Roger, this last weekend, I was meeting with some folks in the Chicago area, as well as Mike Shedlock, who you met at the conference that you and I first met at in the Chicago area late last year. And we probably talk about biotech stocks more than any single subject with about a dozen investors that came and subscribers and visited with us. And one of the things Mike reiterated more than once was that it's really neat to see a company that has the promise that you do in the cancer fighting the technology that you've come up with that you're going to start your phase 1B trials on shortly. But in your case, unlike almost any other biotech stock that we look at, you've got revenue from a core product. And, of course, your therapeutic laser division helped to boost revenues nicely last year. You came out with that news recently. Tell us about how your plans are progressing to roll out your new therapeutic laser and, you know, your outreach in both the Canada and, more important, I think, longer term in the U.S.
Absolutely, Chris. The with the numbers that we came out for 2015, we ended up with around, I think, just a little shy of $2 million. So I think it was a nice 40% growth in revenue for us. If you look at the numbers on a quarter-by-quarter basis, there was a nice jump in fourth quarter, I think, into the $800,000 to $900,000 range. We received our Health Canada and our FDA approval right at the end of the year, so right at right around the December time frame. So what we were able to do is for people sitting on the wings who are ready to buy the product, we got be able to fill those orders and sell them. As we've started to launch that TLC 2000, now that we're past the regulatory hurdles, we've filled in our Canadian team. We had three territory sales managers. We now have five. So we cover across from west to east coast across Canada. We've also started to expand into the U.S. market. As you well know, the U.S. is 25% of the world's GDP and right underneath our border. And so we've hired a New York territory sales manager. We've got a Florida territory sales manager. And we've just secured a Southern California territory sales manager. So three. We'll fill in Illinois, Texas, and North Carolina in the next few months. And so we'll have six to start in 2016. We'll add another six or seven next year. So we're going to start building a nice direct sales force in order to start rolling out this technology. We feel that we can hit numbers in the $5 million range this year.
Roger, I have to say, for the year-end financials, I was impressed by the fourth quarter revenue numbers simply because, to be honest with you, I didn't know how quickly the, I guess, market or the customers were ready to purchase the TLC 2000. But clearly in Canada, there was a nice bump in revenue there. As we look forward to Q1, I know that those financials aren't out yet, but it will be more sales in Canada from what I understand. Do you have any insights into kind of how Q1 has been going for the TLC 2000?
Well, I think that on the TLC 2000, generally there's a big push at the end of the year. Fourth quarters are usually fairly good for companies. First quarter, I think you've got a little bit of Christmas malaise coming back. You've got people that are coming back. You've got inclement weather. They've spent all their budgets on Christmas. So generally January and February are slower. March through to June starts to heat up again. July and August slow down again with all the summer holidays, and then September through to December heats up again with everybody back to work up until, you know, kind of the U.S. Thanksgiving, Black Friday kind of deal, and slows all down again. So I think that you'll see an increase in first quarter. I think that it takes time to get a sales force trained and in place and start contributing. So I think that you'll see a nice steady ramp going through 2016.
Roger, on the same subject of the revenues going up and so forth due to the TLT 2000, I think an important point that I'd like you to kind of update the outlook on for listeners, something investors look at is the need of any company that's in biotechnology and trying to bring a therapy, drug, whatever, further along toward eventual marketing, the need to raise money. And one of the aspects about Theralase that I really like is that you have this revenue base. So can you speak to whether, you know, what the odds are that as the phase 1B trial progresses as we get into the second half of the year on your cancer regimen, cancer fighting regimen, what need, if any, do you think there might be down the road to have to do a capital raise, or do you think that you're going to be able to handle everything out of revenue?
Well, I don't know if you're going to be able to handle everything out of revenue in the sense that we can handle the phase one clinical trial. We can handle the launch of the TLC 2000 into Canada and the U.S. So that's all covered. The company's currently sitting on about $3.3 million in cash, probably around something around a $300,000 burn rate. So we've got about a one-year runway going forward. So there's no need to raise capital in the short term. You would need to raise capital, though, for the phase two clinical trial, which we're already planning for Canada, the U.S., and Europe. So that would be an initiative that you would start probably later in the year, near the end of the year, wherever the markets are set up, in that you would start to fund the phase two clinical trial going forward. But as far as the rollout of the TLC 2000 in Canada and the U.S., there's no need for capital. For the phase 1B clinical trial, we're fully funded. If the stock was able to get higher, you know, we added, once we commence this phase 1B clinical trial, we feel that it'll add value to the company and hence value to the stock. If that does, the company does have around $10 million in 54-cent warrants sitting out there. So if those were exercised by those warrant holders, the company would be well funded for the phase two clinical trial. Since those are five-year warrants, if the warrant holders decided not to, and there's no trigger on them, if they decided not to exercise, then near the end of the year, we'd be, you know, as the stock gained value, we'd be looking at doing or setting up some sort of an arrangement in order to fund the phase two clinical trial. We don't want to be looking for capital halfway through that trial. We'd like to have it fully funded. And we feel that $10 million would be more than sufficient to fund the phase two. In discussions with our medical and scientific advisory board that we had in San Diego just last week, it was discussed that there would be no requirement for a phase three clinical trial. Health Canada and FDA have already made their views clear on that, that we would go to a phase two pivotal clinical trial, which, if successful on efficacy, we'd go straight to commercialization.
Well, Roger, thank you for providing us with an update. I hope everybody who is following along with Theralase, they appreciated what you had to say and appreciate the growth that the company is experiencing, not only in the revenue, but also advancing this cancer division. If anybody has any questions for Roger, feel free to email me directly, and I will put everyone in touch.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Purchase a ProPure system during the Crazy May sale and get a free ProMax shower filter or water filter pitcher. Remove up to 200 contaminants with the Pro1G 2.0 truly cleanable, reusable filter. We don't stretch our claims. We just deliver performance. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.